Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Are you excited about God's word today? Oh man, I am. I love this part of the service, getting into what God wants to speak to us about and then leaving this place really changed. So my name is Tom Carlini. I'm one of the executive pastors here on staff. And I want to thank my lead pastors, Pastors Dave and Cherie, for the opportunity to speak. Love you guys. And say hello to my beautiful wife, Amy, my two adult children who are both married and serving God. I am thankful for that. My sister Renee is right there, and she is part of our congregation now, so I'm loving that as well. And then I've got four beautiful grandchildren, and so they're the light of my life. I also have a six-year-old Shih Tzu. I have a dog that I practice my sermons on. And so every time I'm getting ready to practice, I set her down there and, you know, I'm pacing back and forth and I'm spitting and I'm moving my arms and she's just sitting there like that, just looking, you know. So I'm believing one day she's going to get saved, right? I am believing one day that she's going to get saved. But I'm hoping that all of you will give me a little bit more reaction than Harley does this morning. Well, we are in our summer series called Juice. And we are talking about the nine fruits of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul talked to the Galatian church about, and all about these nine fruits that are part of our lives, and we just got to activate them and put them into motion in our lives. Last week, we started off with the fruit love. Did you guys enjoy Pastor Dave and Lacey Mercer as they spoke? They were team teaching. We're going to be team teaching again this morning. I get the privilege of teaching with one of our young leaders in LifeLink's pastor's class, a fantastic communicator. His name is Chris Peterson. And so he's going to be out here, and you'll notice that he's got the kind of the same outfit that I have on, right? So he's kind of, you know, trying to be like me, I think. I don't know. So it's going to be a good time. So anyway, it's go time. Let me pray, and then we'll get into God's word. Father, I thank you for all that you're going to do here today, Lord. God, I pray your anointing, God, upon our time. And God, I pray that as our hearts are open and our minds are clear, God, speak to our hearts, speak to who we are so that we could take your word, apply it to our lives, leave this place, God, completely changed. So we love you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And if you don't have sermon notes, the ushers are going to come forward now and raise your hand, and they'll get one of those into your hands. You're going to want to take some notes this morning. I want to start off by saying kind of a sweeping statement that I want to express this morning. And, you know, it's kind of dangerous for a speaker to do just a blanket statement, but I believe that this applies to every single person in this room. And here it is. I believe that every person in this room would rather be joyful than sorrowful, right? If given a choice, we would choose gladness over sadness. We would take a win over a loss, right? We would choose the sun over rain. We would rather attend a wedding than a funeral. Right? We would rather ride the crest of a wave than sink into the seas of despair, right? If given an option, I believe we would rather sing, dance, and shout than moan, weep, and pout. Amen? I think that is a sweeping statement. We'd all rather be joyful. And the reason why is we have this joy-seeking nature in our lives. And it's for a reason. God put it there. He created us to be receptors of his Spirit. to be receptors of these nine fruits of the Spirit. Did you know that joy is contagious? It is contagious. It really is. People are naturally attracted to joyful people. And I believe that everyone in this room wants to make a difference with their lives, right? You want to create a positive legacy with your life. You want to be a difference maker. And for that to take place, we've got to be people of joy, because people are naturally attracted to joyful people. So that leads me to this question. What is it that can make me consistently joyful in my life? What are the principles that I need to apply to my lives to be consistently joyful? What is it? And to answer this question, I believe we have to look at natural ways that we go through life trying to attain joy. Just natural ways that we try to do it. So if you look with me in your sermon notes, people try to achieve joy naturally by a couple things. Number one, by eliminating the problems in their life. Eliminating the problems. We often say, if I could lead a problem-free life, that I'd have joy. If I could eliminate all my problems, I'd have true satisfaction in my life. So we change jobs, we switch up possessions, we change careers, we even geographical locations we change, all in an attempt to gain to have joy in our lives. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you are the CEO of the world, married to Ms. World, right? Driving the fastest sports car in the world, flying to your homes around the world, you're still going to have problems in the world, right? You will. Jesus himself said, in this world, in this life, you will have trouble. So you can't get around them. You can't eliminate them. You can't wash them away. They're looming large everywhere we turn. Even Christians, we have as many problems to deal with that non-Christians do. And the thing is, we have this faulty thought that the problem with life are the problems. The problem with life is not the problems themselves. The problem with life is how we deal with the problems. So the pursuit of joy through the elimination of problems is doomed to fail from the start. That's number one. Number two, people try to achieve joy naturally by amassing wealth and possessions, right? We say to ourselves, well, if we were just wealthy and owned property and lots of possessions, that would surely bring me joy in my life. So we acquire a bunch of stuff. And the reality about all that stuff is that the forces of rot and rust and deterioration and depreciation, they hit, and everything we have slowly fades away, right? So we buy more and more and more, and we sacrifice to buy, and oftentimes we go into debt. And instead of owning things, we find out that the things own us. The things own us. So it doesn't bring joy. Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin will destroy and thieves will break in, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So amassing wealth and possessions just doesn't do it. Number three, people try to attain joy naturally by jumping on the fitness bandwagon, right? We say if we would just eat properly and look good, that will do it, right? It'll bring joy to our lives. So we tan and we train and we tone and we lift and we liposuction our way into oblivion, trying to bring happiness to our lives. But even the most buff and beautiful people in the world will eventually get old and older, right? It's just going to happen. And it doesn't matter if you're married to a plastic surgeon, right? The wrinkles are going to come, the hair and the teeth are going to go. Wait a minute, the hair is going to go? I don't know. The hair will go. So if your happiness is tied to image, if it's tied to image, that's going to go too. I love where the Apostle Paul talked to Timothy, wrote a letter to Timothy, and I don't have this in your notes. It's 1 Timothy 4:8, but he says these words: physical training is good, but training for godliness is so much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Right? So some things are good. Taking care of this temple, right, is good. We need to do that. It is good to take it. But if our happiness is tied to this image, it's going to fall. It's going to fail. Jumping on the fitness bandwagon doesn't do it. And number four, people try to achieve joy naturally by achievement and accomplishment. Right? If I can claw and climb my way to the corner office, right, the executive director, or if I could make my way to the quarterback of the team, or to the senior manager, to the vice president, to the CEO, that will do it. But once we get there, we go, is this it? Is this? And only to discover that there's someone on the horizon that's a little bit smarter, a little bit sharper, a little bit better looking, a little bit funnier, a little bit more creative. Achievements and accomplishments will not achieve the joy that we so desperately need. So it leaves us wanting more. More. So these are all common ways that we try to achieve joy naturally. And we think we're going to obtain joy, but instead the opposite actually takes place. So now there are some things that we need to look at that we deal in life that actually take joy away from our lives. And with that, I'm going to have Chris Peterson come out. He's going to share with you what this is all about. And you may recognize him as the technology director, part of our worship team here, but he's also a fantastic communicator. So welcome to the stage, Chris Peterson.
All right. Well, good morning. As Pastor Tom already pointed out, we are dressed similar. I am trying to be like him a little bit. My hairline, more than anything, is trying to be like him. And unfortunately, the day I turned 30, there was nothing I could do about that. But for those of you who don't know me, as I said, my name is Chris Peterson. I get to serve here on staff. I am married to my gorgeous wife. She was the one playing keys back here, not the guy that was over here, but the lady that was over here. We've been married for about 6 years, and I have a beautiful daughter. She's almost 2, and man, does time go fast. So as I said, we're talking about joy this morning. And I know some of you may be thinking, why is that guy talking about joy? Every time I see him in the lobby, he just looks grumpy. So you have thought that then. Okay, great. Well, so here's the thing. Normally, I'm actually really happy inside. There's like a party going on in the inside. Just sometimes my face forgets to show it. So if you ever see me out in the lobby, just know I'd love to talk to you. I actually really like people, and I'm working on my face too. So that's happening. So I thought, if you wouldn't mind this morning, I don't get the opportunity to preach very often, so would you help me and capture the moment by taking a picture with me? Would you do that? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I can put my phone up here, and I'm going to count down to, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and when I get to 3, let's all say joy together, all right? Can everybody see themselves? All right, let's do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3, joy! Awesome. Yeah, that was a good joy. Sounds like you guys have the joy of the Lord in here this morning. I just got to send this to my mom really quick so she can get it to lots of people and post on social media, send to my aunts and uncles, all that stuff. All right, and we got it. Okay, so this morning we're talking about joy. We looked at this scripture last week, and we're going to look at it again. If you guys put it on the screen, Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so like I said, this morning we're talking about joy. We believe it's God's heavenly priority to produce these nine characteristics in our lives. And when we actually invite Jesus into our hearts, he does this really cool thing, and he puts the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit then begins to transform and to change and to do different things inside of us. But there's always this battle going on inside. There's the Holy Spirit on one side, and then we're on the other side thinking that we know better. And obviously we don't, right? But sometimes we think we do. And these two forces are kind of going at each other. So the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our lives, but we want to do something in our lives too. And so there's this battle going on. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So three ways we tend to fight the work of the Holy Spirit is, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down, is selfishness. And if you've ever wondered, that is a hard word to say. Sometimes it comes out as shellfishness, and I think that's something different, like with clams and mussels and stuff like that. But it's selfishness. James 3:16 says, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." See, the root of every relational problem can always be traced back to selfishness. Now, do you guys remember that picture we took a minute ago? Can we put that up on the screen? Maybe I gave him enough time. There it is. Okay. That's a lot of my face. So let's take a look. Let's look at this photo. What are some things you see? What are some things you notice? You notice Chris, all right? You notice the handsome, smart, funny preacher in the middle, naturally. But how many of you looked for yourself first? Did I make it into the people on the side sections? Did I even make it into the picture? Or am I, it's kind of blurry, but am I there? Do I look okay? Did anybody look there first? Will anybody be honest this morning? I'm just kidding. See, the thing is it's our natural autopilot to be self-centered. I guarantee that 9 out of 10 of you looked at the photo and thought, am I in it, and do I look good? And that determined whether it was a good photo or not. Now, some of you look for the mid-sneeze stance and the mid-bite into a burrito stance to take a picture, and you think that's kind of funny, and we're praying for you this morning. We're believing deliverance is going to happen. But really, it doesn't matter if everybody else looked good. If you look good, it was a good picture. So remember that self-centeredness is our natural autopilot, but it's a dead-end street. The example of Jesus says that he came to give us life and to give us life to the full. The scripture doesn't say that Jesus came so he could get everything out of us that he could possibly get out of us, right? The example of Jesus is he came to give everything for us and to be selfless. And so that's what we're going after. So again, three ways we tend to fight the work of the Holy Spirit. Number one was selfishness. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down, is bitterness. Bitterness. This sounds kind of bad, bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no bitterness take root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." You see, we all deal with hurt and bitterness in relationships. If you have a real, true relationship, there's chances are you get hurt. The surface relationships I've found don't tend to last. Now, the ladies, I've been in on conversations where you're talking about nails and dresses and hair, and I can't relate with any of that because I don't wear dresses or do my nails, and I'm losing my hair, so I don't relate. But really, those conversations, if they stay there at nails and dresses, probably after the fifth conversation, you're like, I'm done. Like, this isn't going anywhere, and you kind of move on to the next thing. Let's get down to some real root things. Guys, I think we have it a little easier. We're either friends or we're not. Like, we either, like, dive right into the deepest issues or we don't, and it's just how God wired us. But what you'll notice is with surface relationships, they don't go anywhere. Why? Because we don't have vulnerability, and vulnerability leads to true relationships. And when we're vulnerable, we leave the opportunity for us to get hurt out there. And when we get hurt, we start to get bitter and angry. You ever had a good mad going on? Like it just starts off, you're kind of offended at somebody, you have a little bit of bitterness going on, and then you're like, oh, plus they did that thing to me the other day. And then you start thinking, like, well, and then 2 weeks ago they said this, but they really meant this. And then you start getting worked up, and well, no, then they said this. And then all of a sudden the person's in front of you, even though they're not really in front of you, and you start having the conversation with that person, and I can't believe that you said that, and I can't believe you did that, and you start getting worked up, and then you start thinking of other things, and it just starts feeling good. Not the good kind of good, but the bad kind of good. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and so you start getting worked up, and then you're like, all right, we're going after this, and it's building, and you get all done, and it was all for nothing because the person wasn't even there, right? And then emotionally, you're drained. Why? Because bitterness drains our emotions and kills our joy. The scripture that we just read says bitterness takes root. It takes root. It doesn't mean that it's kind of flows to the top. It's not mixed in. It's rooted in our hearts. And until we deal with bitterness, you won't have joy. Amen? Okay, so we've talked about selfishness, bitterness, and if you're taking notes, write this down, fear. Fear. First John 4:18 says, fear always contains some of the torture of feeling guilty. The man who lives in fear has not yet had his love perfected. The moment we see fear comes in, joy immediately jumps out. Do you remember being a kid? Some of you in here are pretty close to that age, and so maybe you remember it a lot quicker, but you hear a noise in the middle of the night. You're sleeping, and what's the first thing you do, right? You're like, oh my goodness, somebody's here. It's probably just the dog, like, grabbing water, but for you, somebody's jumping into your house, and they're going to attack you, and so the first thing you do is you turn your head to the side, you pull the covers over your face, and then you stop breathing, because if they see you breathe, they'll know you're there. Needless to say, there's a huge lump in the bed that they won't, like, just catch up that you're there. But, right, but how many of that, seems like you guys are on the same page as me. That was a natural response, right? That was just, it's just something we automatically do when fear sets in. Let me juxtapose that with something else. A couple years ago, my wife and I, in the middle of the night, were sleeping, and it was a good sleep. You know the good sleeps where you drool? Like, you wake up and there's dried drool in your beard. Ladies, you probably don't know what it's like to have drool in your beard. But your pillow is just dried, and you wake up and you're like, oh, that was a good sleep. Yeah? I was in one of those. And middle of the night, all of a sudden my dog just starts barking and growling. Not the, hey, you're home from the garage, which I still don't appreciate, but the like, hey, I'm going to hurt you if you take a step closer. And then all of a sudden, I look up, and my door goes and opens. A head pops out and looks, pops back out, and closes. I think, all right, it's on. I'm a really good shot. I'm all amped up right now. And so I did my best Christian Bale Batman voice and went, hey, get back here! Because I was ready to take care of business. And I got all the adrenaline, you know, pumping through me, and I'm, you know, stretching out like, let's get this going. And the door opens up again, and a little head pops out, and the sweetest voice says, I was just going downstairs to get a drink of water. Well, it turns out it was Leslie and my wife, and she wasn't in bed next to me asleep. She happened to actually be going downstairs. Now, while I wasn't afraid in the moment, I guarantee she was, right? But here's the thing, is that neither one of us were laughing at that moment. Why? Because fear is an automatic response. Automatic. You can't have it in the same. If you're fearful, the first thing you want to do is not laugh. Unless it's like an evil, maniacal laugh, and that doesn't count. That's a whole different thing. So fear is another dead-end street. So this morning, if we're going to be intentional and making space for joy in our lives, we're going to have to be on guard for selfishness, for bitterness, and for fear. Amen? All right, so help me welcome Pastor Tom back out to the stage and helping us with God's way of getting joy into our lives.
All right. He is a sharp dresser, isn't he? He really is, that man there. So far we looked at natural ways that we try to get joy in our lives, and then we looked at some common things that are really joy killers in our lives. So what's the answer? Well, thank God for his word, amen? Because in here is the prescription for joy, for joy. And so I want to give you just three principles that are found in God's word that will give us joy in our lives. Number one, we need to concentrate on giving instead of getting. Concentrate on giving. See, oftentimes we get this and we want to get that, but God says you got it all wrong. In Acts 20:35, it says these words, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." In fact, the Father was a model of giving. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." So he modeled it. So we got to look at our own lives and say, what are we giving out on a daily basis, right? What are you giving to your spouse? What are you giving to your children? What are you, to the loved ones in your life? What are you giving to those people that desperately need this character quality called joy? Are you giving it out? Jesus was a model for this. He says that I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, right? This is the Creator coming down to serve his creation. So Jesus must have known something about serving that many don't. You know, I just came back from Mexico on a mission trip, went down there, led a group of 42 people, went down there, had a great time. You know, when you cross the border into a foreign country, especially a third world country, your mindset is you're leaving behind all the hustle and bustle of the American lifestyle, right? The fast pace, the social media, the hurried schedules. And the only thing really then is that's on your mind is serving, is giving. How can I serve next? How can I give of myself next? And that's, so when we were down there, man, that's all we thought about. And you know what? Joy welled up in our hearts because it's an outcome of giving. You know, we had a post-trip celebration, and this was the fourth time that LifeLink has gone down on this Mexico trip, and each celebration is just filled with joy and laughter. Why? Because we were serving. We were looking beyond ourselves, and when you start to look beyond yourself and you start to give out, your own problems start to get smaller and smaller and smaller as you're focused on the Savior. Amen. When you serve more, you take less. When you give more, you need less. When you thank more, you want less. When there's more of God, there's less of you, and that's a prescription for joy. So that's number one. Number two, concentrate on healing, not hurting. I love this scripture from the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Colossae, and he said these words, "Be gentle, ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." This right here is a recipe for healing. Let's kind of break down this scripture. It says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. You see, many of us keep score. Well, he did this, or she did that, or they did this again. And again, and the grudge builds and builds and builds until we're ready to hammer the person. And so we need to be intentional about healing, not hurting. Scripture says, be gentle and ready. Circle that word ready. Be ready to forgive. Are you ready this morning? Are you constantly ready to forgive? You say, well, how do we do that? Well, let's read on. It says, remember the Lord forgave you. Do you know that we give forgiveness to the extent that we feel we have been forgiven? If you feel like you have been forgiven little, you forgive little. If you feel like you've been forgiven much, you forgive much. We need to understand the magnitude of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives and the forgiveness that he's done. If I could stand right here, and this is the point in my life that I gave my life to Jesus,
And I asked God to forgive me of my sin. And he came down and forgave me of my sin. And I said, I'm going to follow you. I want you to lead my life. So here I am now, totally forgiven. God has done a lot in my life. And then I say, I'm going to start to follow Christ. So step by step, I make some bad decisions. God, forgive me for that. He forgives. I keep going. I make some poor choices. God, forgive me for that. He forgives. I come over here. I fall down. I go, God, help me back up. He forgives me and sets me on a rock. We need to understand that this whole journey right here, God has been forgiving us. We've been repenting and he's been forgiving us. We need to understand the magnitude of his forgiveness. The Apostle Paul said, remember that the Lord forgave you. Remember this journey. Remember the times that he has forgiven you. And through that, you must then pay it forward. You must forgive others as you have been forgiven. And God wants to do that in your life. That's number two. Number three, we're going to close on this. Concentrate on God's power, not my problems. Not my problems. See, we get so enmeshed in our own problems. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times. Trust in God some of the time? No. Trust in God all the time. You know, the great Apostle Paul, when he came to Rome, he was a prisoner. And as a prisoner, he was chained to a guard 24/7. And the guards changed out every 6 hours, and so he was always with a different guard. And at that time, he was expecting imminent death. So he didn't know if he was going to live the next day. But guess what? The Apostle Paul, he wasn't singing, you know, sad Johnny Cash songs, right? He wasn't doing that. The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church at Philippi. And just take a wild stab at the theme of that letter, joy. Joy. 19 times he wrote about joy. 19 times he wrote about joy or rejoicing in our lives. See, Paul understood this secret. True joy doesn't depend on circumstances. It doesn't. Paul was not sitting in comfort or in pleasant surroundings. He was a prisoner in chains, not a good place to be. Yet Paul could rejoice in his where he was at, even as a prisoner, because not because of the circumstances that he found himself in, but because of his passion of knowing who he was in Jesus Christ. That's the secret of a joy-filled life. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is completely tied to our relationship with Christ. When you find yourself throughout the day losing joy, stop and take inventory. Am I grasping for things? Is my priority earthly achievements? Am I focused on my image? Am I worrying? Am I focused on selfishness or bitterness or fear? Have I taken my eyes off of Christ? If so, stop right there. Ask God to forgive you, and he will. And I'm telling you, joy will flood your life. Paul was a man with purpose. He didn't look at his circumstances in his life, but rather his relationship to Christ. He was not a prisoner of Rome. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He didn't wear Roman chains. He said that his chains were my bonds in Christ. He wasn't just facing a Roman civil trial. He was saying, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Listen to this. He did not look at Christ through his circumstances. Rather, he looked at his circumstances through Christ. And that changed everything. It changed everything. The Apostle Paul, he said these words, I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether giving in plenty or in want, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. We need to concentrate on God's power and not our problems. And when we do, man, he'll take us for a joy ride. So this week, as you are preparing yourself for this joyride, concentrate on giving, not getting. Concentrate on healing, not hurting. And concentrate on God's power and not my problems. Amen. Did you get something out of it this morning? Amen. Amen. Let us pray right now. Father, I thank you for all that you have done in this place this morning. God, help us to be who you would have us to be in Christ. Help us to be a joyful person. Help us not to concentrate on giving, getting, but on giving and serving. Help us to concentrate on healing, not hurting. Help us to concentrate on your power and not our circumstances or our problems. Help us, Lord, to trust in you at all times. Amen. With our heads still bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you have come into this place this morning and you have found yourself listening to a message about joy and listening to that joy is tied to a relationship with Christ, but you've never surrendered your heart or life to Christ. And you're here today, and you want to take those steps toward Christ, surrendering your life to him, asking him to come inside your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I want you to lift up your hand. Lift it up and say, that's me. Pray with me, Pastor Tom. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Are there other hands in this place? I see that hand. That's three. Are there others in this place that you would want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ this morning? And we'll do that prayer. I see that hand. That's number four. Amen. Church, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to lead out in prayer. If you raised your hand, believe these words. Believe him in your heart, and Jesus Christ will come in, and he'll set you free. Amen. Dear Father, I submit to your will today. I accept your Son into my life. I receive Jesus. Forgive me of my wrongdoings. I commit to live for you forever. Amen. Church, let us just celebrate as we've seen people cross the line into eternity, seeing Jesus become alive in their lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.